On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never
of God.
Never stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness.
Savior. Ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Glorified
with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never stand.
Sorrow, no more pain,
there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
grains, all bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory, glory.
With a reading of God to stand.
No more pain,
there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. I am part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ, because in him I have found peace, joy, and happiness, and I am blessed beyond measure, more than I ever deserve. Folks, my goal here is very simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, we're going to draw to a conclusion to our series of studies that we've been undergoing here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. But first, headline news. Well, get this, folks. The pastor of a multicultural church in Minneapolis is set to open a pub he hopes will be a place for the community to come together. That's right. Pastor Jeff Calmettle of Calvary Baptist Church and his wife say they long dreamed of owning a bar, and possibly because they met in one. We believe that the church has to do new things. We have to think outside the box. They're going to open up the bar called Prodigal Public House, and it will also serve food and focus on whiskey and Guinness. It is just one block from Calvary Baptist. The pub's name was inspired by Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. People say we have the gift of hospitality, so it's really just living out who you are. We can have spirits and have spiritual conversation. You can laugh, cry, do life together in a pub. He said the two great commandments, right? Love God, love your neighbor. We're just trying to be a neighbor. Church's vision, according to its website, is to be a multicultural movement of mature, glad-hearted followers of Jesus Christ, deeply embracing life while living out our discipleship in the world. Woo, folks, that's a mouthful. Some on social media, of course, had mixed reaction. We have to check this out, one wrote. Others seemed to question the idea, just wondering why not a coffee shop. Credits for him not opening a strip club. One person, right, there you go, folks. Baptist pastor opens bar one block from church. We have to think outside the box. I'm scratching my head on this one, folks. Scratching my head on this one. Get this, folks. When Eric Wagner bought the Amen 6 years ago, he had no way of knowing the vote would be the actual answer to two Florida teenagers' prayers. Wagner and his crew were sailing the 53-foot yacht in Florida and going to New Jersey last month when they heard a desperate scream over the engine's wind and choppy waves. They were about 2 miles offshore, so Wagner didn't believe his ears at first. Then they saw an arm flailing in the water behind them. It was kind of surprising we heard them, especially when they were 150 yards away, almost 200 yards away. But it was definitely the scream that we heard, and that's why we were looking around. They turned the boat around and raced to get close enough to throw life jackets and a line. It felt like forever. The 17-year-olds had gone swimming near St. Augustine to celebrate Senior Skip Day and got caught in a current that pulled them farther and farther away from their land. Well, folks, I say that they got more than they bargained for on that one. They were getting weaker and feared they wouldn't make it, so they started praying. I cried out, Smith said. If you really do have a plan for us, God, come on, just bring something. That's when they saw the Amen. Amen, folks. The first words that came out of my mouth were, God is real. Wagner says he plans to restore the boat. Had been thinking of changing the name, but that's off the table now. Definitely not. I'll keep the name Amen forever. Well, get that, folks. Two Florida teens prayed for help after being swept out of sea, and Amen saved them. How about that, folks? How about that? Hey, get this, folks. Get this. Family of a 5-year-old boy thrown off a Mail of America balcony said Tuesday the prayers are working. The boy, whose first name is Landon, was picked up by a total stranger and tossed from the third floor balcony to the first floor in Bloomington, Minnesota. The 24-year-old man was arrested. Folks, get that. Some stranger just walked up, picked up your child, and just throws him off the balcony. Wow. But the little boy, the 5-year-old boy, is awake and responsive. Can you believe that, folks? Despite the fact that the boy broke his legs and arms, an MRI revealed, get this, folks, that he has no brain damage at all. All praise and glory and honor goes to God, his family says. Amen, glory, hallelujah, folks. What an incredible, incredible thing. The young boy thrown from the Mall of America balcony shows no brain damage. Wow. Glory, hallelujah, folks, for that 5-year-old little boy. Woo! Praise be to God. Well, get this, folks. Get this. A Canadian court is threatening a father with arrest if he calls his transgender teen by the child's birth name, uses the wrong pronoun, or attempts to dissuade the teen from hormone treatments. You got it, folks. This is just the latest chapter in a transgender legal case involving a father who opposes the injections for his biological daughter and a mother and medical community who supports them. The 14-year-old biological girl wants to become a boy. The father, known in court as Clark, believes the child may regret the treatments when reaching adulthood, which sometimes happens. His child is referenced as Max or Maxine in court documents, depending on the gender. The order by British Columbia Justice forbids Clark from attempting to persuade Maxine to abandon treatment for gender dysphoria. It further orders the father not to use Maxine's birth name or refer to Maxine as a girl or with female pronouns. The order prevents Clark from speaking to the media about the case. Violating this order could result in immediate arrest. Disobeying this order is a criminal offense, the order states. The father had said that they're using Maxine like she's a guinea pig in an experiment. Is BC Children's Hospital going to be there in 5 years when she rejects her male identity? No, they're not. They don't care. They just want numbers. A peer-reviewed study by a Brown University professor this year found that some teens transition due to peer pressure and social media influence. Folks, this is real stuff going on right in our neighborhoods. And don't think it's not, even though this is in Canada. Dad faces arrest if he tries to stop his child's transgender treatments. This is just complete madness, folks. Complete, utter madness. Folks, we need to pray for this father. Pray for this family. Pray for this young girl. And that's our headline news for this broadcast. And now we have a new segment called Today in Church History. Today in church history, in 1521, traveling home from the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther is taken into protective custody by order of German ruler Frederick the Wise and held at Wartburg, where he will translate the Bible into German. In the year 1677, we have the death of Isaac Barrow. He was an eminent English divine, educator, mathematician, and classic scholar whose sermons will be reprinted for 200 years. He will, however, be most remembered by later generations for his influence on, you got it, Isaac Newton. And then finally on this day, in 1970, the United States Supreme Court upholds the constitutionality of a New York statute exempting church-owned property from taxation. And that's our segment for Today in Church History. And now we have Named That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I am the place where Abraham was born. What place am I? Here's your clue one more time. I am the place where Abraham was born. What place am I? We'll reveal the answer following our study segment. So stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our final segment of Name That Bible Character. And now we're going to have our conclusion to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, boy, it has been a great study. Just seeing everything that this tremendous chapter reveals to us, everything from finding our position, our status in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, finding that in Him we have life and peace, that in Him that God is very real and active and powerful in our lives, that we are His children, and that if we are His children, then we are fellow heirs with His only Son, Jesus Christ, and all that brings to us in that kind of a relationship, that wonderful, beautiful, powerful relationship, joint heirs, people with Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? And then we find that God wants to remind us of His powerful providential hand in our lives, that sufferings that we face in this world, while they are very powerful and dynamic as we experience them, but God has something better for us. That God just doesn't just leave us and put in our hands a grenade and just walk away. But He uses those circumstances to remind us, to build us up, to shape us, that He is real, that He is powerful, that there's something better. And so He wants us to understand that He has given us His Word, given us His powerful Spirit even to help us in our prayer life, so that we will know and understand that all things work for the good, those that love the Lord. Everything is working for the good. God is conforming us into His Son, that all these things, His will is not going to be thwarted by the terrible things that happen around us and through us and in us. And so now Paul comes to this ending here, and he ends with a powerful bang, folks. So let's read it together. Get your cup of coffee in your hand like I have in mine right now, the hot cup of coffee, cold drink, whatever it is. Brother and sisters in Christ, friend, and whoever you are listening to this broadcast, just pick up your Bible, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 31 and read through the end of the chapter. Let's read it together. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul is about to undergo these rhetorical questions about if all these things, what can we say? If all these things are true, and what he's pointing to is from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, all the way through verse 30, he says, if all these things are true, if God is for us, who can be against us? If these things are true, what greater power do we have? What more can be said? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Paul reminds the Christians there at Rome who were undergoing great suffering and persecution, terrible things, We think that there are terrible things today, but there were just as terrible, even more so. Awful, horrific things. Christians being killed. Christians being dragged into the arena where wild animals, lions, would just rip them apart. So yes, these Christians were undergoing great struggle. What are we going to do? How are we going to face these trials? How are we going to handle this? And Paul was reminding them, there is a God on your side. He gave you His only Son. He didn't spare Him, but gave Him. So why would that matter? It matters because that is the power by which we can overcome all things. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Paul is reminding them, who is really in authority? Is it the government of Rome? Is it the Roman Empire? Is it Caesar? Who is it? In the end, Paul says, it is God. He's the one in full authority. He's the one in charge. He's the one that justifies. He's the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who's going to condemn? Yeah, there could be some guy in your community, in your providence. He might rain down terrible crimes against you. But in the end, who will actually condemn? It's God, because He is holy, righteous. God, because He sent us His Son. God, because through His Son, He condemned the world. He condemned Satan. He condemned sin in the flesh. And provided that opportunity that our sins are paid and we're no longer condemned. He has given us His Son. Who is sitting at the right hand of God now? President? Governor? Who? Caesar? No. It's Jesus. And He is ever living to make intercession for us. That is who is on our side. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There are many awful things that's competing for your soul and attention, friend. And Paul here is reminding us and reminding those Christians then of all those things that could steer us away, create great fear in our hearts. Cloud our vision. Paul wants us to know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? It is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. How is it that in all these things, pointing back to tribulation, pointing back to distress, pointing back to persecution, pointing back to famine, pointing back to nakedness, pointing back to peril, pointing back to death by sword, how could it be that we are conquerors in those things? Paul is reminding them that the power of the love of Christ supersedes all of the things that happens around us. All of the things like death, tragedy, horrific situations, terrible disease, distress, persecution, famine. It doesn't matter. In the end, the one who loved us, if we have that love in us, will carry us through to eternity. Verse 38, Paul concludes by saying this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Folks, this has been a beautiful, beautiful chapter, and Paul here ends it with the idea that we must never get to the point where we interpret all of these problems, all of this darkness in this world as evidence of God's lack of love for us. Nothing we do can keep Christ from loving us. And nothing that happens to us can mean that Christ no longer loves us. Now, Paul builds a list of some of the worst things that can happen in this life. Trials, hardship, persecution for our faith in Him, hunger, lack of clothing, shelter, physical threats, death by violence. But none of these things can separate us from Christ's love. None of this means Christ does not love us. Just the opposite is true, folks. That's what Paul is trying to tell us in his conclusion. Christ loves us enough to bring us through these things. It's one of the most encouraging and affirming passages in all of God's Word. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have the conclusion to Name That Bible Character. Here was your clue. I am the place where Abraham was born. What place am I? That place is Ur. Genesis 11, 26 and 28. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. I am the place where Abraham was born. What place am I? That place is called Ur. Ur. And name that Bible character. Well, friend, you too can be a part of the greatest movement ever. Become a follower of Jesus Christ, because in Him you can find peace, joy, and happiness. He'd be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. My goal here has been very simple, friend, and that is help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, if you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. But if you can't stop by and visit with us, well, then stop at our website, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com. Well, friend, I just want to tell you this. God bless you. And thank you for listening to this broadcast.
Praise God. Praise God. Give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen.
Amen.
Sing glory. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord has died for you.
Praise God.
Praise God. Give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen.
Amen.
Sing glory. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord has risen for you.
Praise God.
Praise God. Give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen.
Amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is living for you. Praise God, give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen, amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is coming for you. Christ the Lord is coming for you. Christ the Lord is coming for you.